This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins. Sitting in for Tony today is the producer of Washington Watch, Russ Jones.
We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
Remember those words? President Donald Trump addressing the nation during his inaugural address as the 45th president of the United States. Indeed, I am Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. Now, President Trump, he's in Switzerland promoting his America First policy to global elites. Oren Kass, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, he will be here with analysis on all of that that's going on. Fascinating stuff. And for the first time, researchers have used the cloning method that produced Dolly the sheep to create two healthy monkeys. Is human cloning next? Scientists, you know, they tried like some 79 times. We'll talk with Dr. David Prentice. He's the vice president and research director for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And also, we're going to hear from Tony Perkins. He's going to chime in. You know, we finally got Sam Brown back. Confirmed. He will be at-large ambassador for international religious freedom. And did you know that not one Democrat voted for his confirmation? FRC President Tony Perkins will be here with his thoughts. And of course, at the back end of the show, we will take your calls. Well, as I mentioned, President Trump is in Davos, Switzerland, for an economic conference pushing his America First agenda. It's the president's visit to the World Economic Forum. It's on the heels of corporate tax cuts, and you've seen how massively, the stock exchange is growing. Wall Street investments are spurred on. Businesses are expanding. We're seeing all of these workers getting benefits, and the stock market is hitting record highs. And with us now is Oren Kass. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He was also the domestic policy director of Mitt Romney's 2012 presidential campaign. Oren, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, appreciate you taking time to be here. And as you know, it's a who's who of European business leaders and CEOs that President Trump is meeting with. And it doesn't appear that no one's laughing now. Might we call this I told you so tour?
Well, you know, I think he's crashing the party is what he's doing. They like to gather in Davos and speak as if they know exactly what is happening in the world and why. And over the last couple of years, it's become pretty clear that maybe some other people had a better handle on things than they did.
And, you know, it wasn't very popular during the campaign, America First, let's make America great again with some. But, of course, this is what brought out the base and what ultimately, I believe, got him elected was, you know, we've seen a lot of efforts on countries and with countries and economies all across the world. And what about the United States? Should we take care of home base first? And now we're seeing him go around the table. I watched earlier as these CEOs from all over the world are sitting there with Donald Trump and talking about how many employees they have in the United States and whatever it is, their product they're producing, how many are being made. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, it is. You know, the thing about America First and the way that Donald Trump talks about it, I think, is that, you know, unfortunately, he uses a lot of very crass language. He, I think, a lot of times intends to offend people. But when you dig down underneath it to the idea that America should put America first, that shouldn't actually be very controversial. And it's not actually very controversial with, for instance, a lot of European leaders. I mean, the Germans put Germany first. The British put the United Kingdom first. That's the way international relations is supposed to work. And it's been the United States, and especially during the Obama administration, that sort of ignored that and you know tried to be bigger than that with very mixed results. And so I think what you see a lot of the times is for instance folks in Europe a little bit disappointed to hear that the gravy train is over and that they're going to have to deal with a United States that is not going to make sacrifices that are not in its own interest.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The gravy train is over. And you know, Oren, I was looking that Trump's attendance at this conference, it's the first by a U.S. president since Bill Clinton in 2000. And they were talking about him going and gathering even before his arrival.
Well, he, you know, it's strange, frankly, that he's there. You know, you can see why he likes it. It's a way to get attention. But certainly it's not something George W. Bush or President Obama did. It seems more like an attention-getting maneuver than maybe a governing one.
Or possibly it's an opportunity to further communicate, you know, his policy, because ultimately, you know, we're talking about NAFTA policies, international trade policies, and is this a way for him to meet with folks on a higher playing field?
It could be. You know, the reality is that when you're the president of the United States, you don't have to go to Davos to have anyone listen to what you're saying. You can just call a press conference and say what you want, and if you want to meet a world leader or call up a CEO, you can do that too. And so that's why I said it's a little bit of crashing the party. You know, I understand why that might appeal to him, and you know why it might even reinforce his message very effectively. But it's not necessarily a great example of statecraft, so to speak.
Right, and I understand what you're saying there, and it could be an opportunity for him. You know, his greatest accomplishment so far has been the tax cuts and the economy, and yet crickets on many of the mainstream media outlets, starting to get a little bit, and some wanting to say that this is really part of President Obama's agendas and his policies. But, you know, I think some folks are coming around and saying, no, this is President Trump, and maybe this is an opportunity for him to further implement and let folks know this is a strength that I told you I was going to bring to the table.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly the message you'd expect to hear him delivering tomorrow.
And you know, today, these tax cut bonuses, 250 companies passing on these benefits to workers benefiting from tax reform. And Northrop Grumman, they're offering up to $1,000, we're hearing today, and Home Depot is offering bonuses. And it's really quite astonishing when you see this. But the left just says, I think Pelosi, what was her word? Just mere crumbs.
Yeah, well, and I think you heard Debbie Wasserman Schultz today was saying that, you know, $1,000 isn't even a lot of money anyway. You know, look, I think this kind of it's very instructive. I mean, one thing that Republicans have always said is if you give tax cuts, even if the tax cuts are directed at corporations, workers benefit from that too. And one thing you're seeing is that that's true, and it's putting Democrats in the embarrassing position of now having to try to poo-poo, you know, very large amounts of money for families that need them. I think the flip side that's worth keeping in mind is that, you know, this is a very expensive way to get money to people. I mean, if you look at kind of how much, you know, how big are these bonuses, you're talking about maybe a few billion dollars economy-wide, and yet the tax cut costs $1.5 trillion. So I think we should celebrate bonuses when they're paid and certainly recognize that this is a lot of money for households that need the money, but also recognize that whether or not the tax package makes sense, you don't prove it right with a few bonuses one year. You have to actually you have to show some change to the trajectory of the economy over a much longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. And you know, for 8 years, President Obama essentially attacked business owners. And Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who was among the cabinet members, he arrived at Davos earlier, ahead of President Trump, and he said that more U.S. trade restrictions are likely. How do you think that's being received?
Well, it's certainly not being received well in Davos, I'm sure. But, you know, the funny thing about trade, and I think this is another instance of a place where, you know, the language that Donald Trump uses isn't always helpful, but the point that he's making is important, is that the trade system hasn't been working especially well. You have a lot of countries that do not play by the rules. China is obviously the main example.
Exactly.
And when you have countries that are pretending to be in a free market but aren't respecting the free market, you cause a lot of problems. And that's really awkward for the folks at Davos who, you know, I believe it was last year that President Xi of China went and talked about how much China, you know, is committed to free trade. And even though you then turn around and look at what they're actually doing in China, and it's exactly the opposite of that. And so that sort of tends to be the modus operandi of Davos, is everyone gets up and says nice things. You know, they all say they're going to be for free trade and fight climate change. And then they go home and do whatever's in their own interest. China behaves badly on trade. Germany goes back and renounces its climate change targets. And they really don't like it when Donald Trump shows up and says, actually, I'm gonna point some of that out.
Right.
It's understandable why they're not fans.
No, it's not unusual to protect home base. It's just not. And even folks like the International Monetary Fund, they're saying that the U.S. is, you know, adding to worldwide growth. The stronger America makes the world stronger.
Well, that's right. And at the end of the day, you know, everybody needs America to be strong, and unless you're an adversary of America. But if you're on board with wanting economic growth and wanting freedom and democracy generally, you probably like to see America do well. And so, you know, in a sense, we should be pleased to see who's our friend and who's our enemy under those conditions. I think when we get in trouble is when we find some people who maybe shouldn't be our friends and decide we want to make them be our friends anyway.
And as you said, and folks like, you know, banking executive Jimmy Dimon may not like President Trump's tweets, but he certainly is an amazing promoter of the U.S. and American made.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think the economy at this point is doing very well. I think the U.S. does also at the same time have to be concerned about its image in the world.
Right.
You know, it does matter. It's economic growth and American strength are great, but we also want to make sure that other countries, for instance, feel that we respect and care about them. And that's where Trump needs to be a little bit more careful about his language, and those things actually do matter with a president.
Well, Orrin Case, thank you so much for being with us on Washington Watch. We're out of time. I appreciate your insights. Very insightful and helpful.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, that was Orrin Case, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Great to have him on. Coming up, first it was Dolly the sheep, and now we've got two monkeys that have been cloned in China. Are humans next? Dr. David Prentiss, Vice President and Research Director for the Charlotte Lozier Institute, is here when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
It's Thursday. You're tuned in to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And, of course, Tony is the president of the Family Research Council. And I am your faithful producer and guest host of the program, 30-year media veteran. It's always an honor to be with you on the program. Well, on Wednesday, scientists in China announced they have successfully cloned two long-tailed monkeys. The cloning of primates was long thought to be fundamentally more difficult than horses and sheep and other mammals, and therefore much further away. And it raises the question, will humans be next? Dr. David Prentice is vice president and research director for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Dr. Prentice is an expert on stem cell research and bioethics. Matter of fact, used to be on the staff of the Family Research Council. And Dr. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
And how is life in your world?
Well, as you can tell from the news and the topic, more weird science. But, you know, there's solid ethical science going on. It just is not making the news. Instead, we talk about cloned monkeys.
Well, how's your Chinese lately?
It's so-so. But, you know, these two little monkeys, and let's back up a step and talk about what did they do when we said they cloned them. They've been cloning monkeys, and they have actually already cloned human embryos
right
through this process called somatic cell nuclear transfer, the fancy term for cloning. But what they did this time was they were able to gestate those cloned monkeys to birth, and we have two little born baby monkeys called Zong Zong and Hua Hua.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's interesting that, as you were mentioning, the idea that you can take a primate, so now you're very close to humans in terms of the biology, and be able to create copies, which is what cloning does, copies of embryos that then can be gestated to birth, brings this all the closer to actually doing this with human beings. And
now, David, let me ask you this. The researchers say that cloning monkeys isn't necessarily proof humans can be cloned. What say you on that?
Well, I'd say that they're trying to give you a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is exactly, in fact, the pathway that led to Dolly, the clone sheep. The monkeys in this case were cloned not from an adult cell, like you would take from you or me and try and clone us, but from fetal cells. Well, it turns out before there was Dolly, there was Megan and Morag, two cloned lambs that were cloned from fetal sheep cells. And once they had practiced, then they were able to do it from an adult cell, and you had Dolly the cloned sheep and all the subsequent cloned animals. Well, now you've got these two little monkeys cloned from fetal monkey cells, but it's a very short step to do that from adult cells, and it's also a very short step because it's simply technical tinkering that leads you to be able to do this with human beings. As we mentioned, there's several labs around the world that have already produced cloned human embryos, including in the United States. And it's simply a matter of putting those embryos into the womb and gestating them up to birth.
And you know, David, this is just, I think for the average person, it's not a very pleasant thought. And the numbers are rather gruesome on this. For the adult cell experiment, the Chinese researchers began with 290 eggs and created 192 embryos and attempted to transplant 181 of those to 42 surrogate monkey mothers, and it resulted in 22 pregnancies and just two baby monkeys born alive.
And that was, you know, if you combined the fetal cell experiments with the adult cell experiments, it, you know, add about 100 in each of those cases, and still you got only two little monkeys. And that's kind of the same percent success, if you want to call it that, that they get,
yes,
have been getting ever since Dolly. Dolly was the only one of 277 cloned sheep embryos that made it to birth. And Dolly had problems. They put her down when she was 6 years old. She normally lived to be about 12. She had immune system problems, lung problems, early onset arthritis. Cloning is simply not biologically a very good way to make new individuals. And of course, it's unethical because you're basically saying, this is the genome I want you to have. I am controlling and creating you.
Right.
It's simply not a good way for us to move forward, whether it's in terms of animal research or human research.
Yeah, it doesn't, for the believer, it doesn't compute, you know, there are no connecting points. So how do you advance the research? What are the other options just in the last few minutes we have remaining?
There are lots of other options. I mean, they usually hold out the idea of cloning and embryonic stem cell research as treating lots of diseases. In point of fact, there are zero successful published results due to embryonic stem cells or clones, whereas there are over 1.5 million people who have been helped by adult stem cells. Things like bone marrow transplants and umbilical cord blood, and our bodies are actually rich with these adult stem cells that we can use to repair damage to our own bodies, as well as to donate to others for dozens of diseases, not just leukemias and anemias, as it was the case a couple of decades ago, but heart damage,
yes,
diabetes, and so on. We really need to focus on the ethical science.
Right.
That's where you're going to see results.
Dr. David Prentice, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Thank you for weighing in on this. And there's more information about David at TonyPerkins.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, coming up next, Governor Sam Brownback of Kansas, the state I used to live in, was narrowly confirmed to an ambassadorship on Wednesday after a six-month wait. Not one Democrat senator voted for him. FRC President Tony Perkins will weigh in after the break. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch.
A
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. My thanks to Russ Jones for carrying the bulk of the program today. I just want to jump in here for just a moment. I'm down south, way down south, so far south. They don't have sweet tea, but they do have some good coffee down here. I'm down in South America. I'll tell you more about that on Monday when I'm back. But I did want to jump in here. It's Thankful Thursday, and in just a moment, Russ is going to be taking your phone calls to talk about what you're thankful for. I wanted to say this. I'm thankful that finally, after it's been over 6 months, the Senate yesterday finally confirmed the nomination of Governor Sam Brownback to Ambassador-at-Large for Religious Freedom. I mean, this is critical. It just, I cannot overstate how important this is to have someone of Sam's commitment and caliber working around the globe to speak out on behalf of religious minorities, Christians included, who are being persecuted for their faith. As you've heard me talk about on this program many, many times, we are at unprecedented levels of persecution, and we have a responsibility, I believe, as a nation, and in particular as Christians in this nation, to speak out on their behalf and use every means possible. I hope to have Sam on the program on a regular basis and work with him to bring greater emphasis and attention to this issue, and churches, pastors, I hope we'll make this a focal point of praying for and working for the well-being of Christians and other religious minorities around the country. So people will be free, as the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights says, to have religious freedom, meaning the ability to choose to change their religion as well. The United States has left a huge vacuum in the last 8 years as the Obama administration eclipsed religious freedom with the pro-abortion and pro-LGBT agenda. And that's still deeply ingrained in the State Department. And it's going to take a voice like Sam Brownback's to bring this to the attention of the Secretary of State, who is with this arrangement as the Ambassador of Large. He directly reports to the Secretary of State, and he can get that information to them, and hopefully we'll see some changes there. But we're certainly going to do our part to help. Now, here's the kind of the disheartening and shocking aspect of yesterday's confirmation of Senator Brownback. He was confirmed only when the vice president broke the tie. Every Democrat in the United States Senate voted against Sam Brownback, a former colleague who has decades of experience and a track record of helping the persecuted. And not just Christians. That was one of the criticisms, I think, that Durbin put out, that he was simply wanting to help Christians. That's not the case. He has a history of helping religious minorities in Iran, in Russia, and other parts of the world when he was senator. And I've known Sam for over 20 years and worked with him and was in his office when he was a senator from Kansas and met with some of these people that he helped bring out of repressive and dangerous situations. He's worked on the human trafficking issue, and so I cannot think of anyone better. But it is, folks, I hope you're seeing what's happening. This is a wake-up call. We have come to a point that politically we are so polarized that religious freedom is no longer a consensus issue among Republicans and Democrats. It is the Republicans, and some of them are a little squishy, and they've got to be cajoled, they've got to be encouraged and prodded at times, but also applauded when they do the right thing. And I want to give a shout out to Mitch McConnell for working this through and getting Sam's confirmation through the process. But folks, if you have a senator that voted against the confirmation of Sam Brownback, I want to encourage you to let them know how disappointed you are. It is, folks, this is a harbinger. This is an indication of things to come. And that's why we cannot, regardless of what the left would say and the attacks that come for our engagement in a system that is filled with flawed people, okay? We have to continue to stay engaged and influence them to the best we can and uphold biblical truth and ideas in the process. So anyway, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and be sure and weigh in with your United States senators over the confirmation of Senator Sam Brownback. All right. When we come back, Russ is going to be back at the helm, and he's going to be taking your phone calls. Remember, it's Thankful Thursday. You know, despite the challenges that we face, there's always something to be thankful for. I tell you what, I am thankful for my wife, thankful for my children, thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to make a difference right here and now. Thanks so much, and when we come back from this break, Russ Jones takes it over. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Yes, it's that time of the week. It's Thankful Thursday. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I am Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. What are you thankful for? Give us a call, 866-372-7234. I was thankful we got to hear from our leader, Tony Perkins, from all the way down in Guatemala. And thanks for dropping that coffee comment. I love coffee. And nothing better than good South American, Central American coffee. Wow. By the way, Tony will be speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas this coming Sunday at their 8:30 and 11 a.m. services. If you're in the that area of Marshall, Texas, why don't you, tell your pastor you got a special friend that's in the area and you're going to go say hi to Tony. Go hear what he has to say, but Tony will be at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas this Sunday at their 8:30 and 11 a.m. services. And one thing that I'm thankful for, and starting to get callers here on the phone, just hold on just a little bit, but this Saturday in Jackson, Mississippi, and I've told you about this, I was sworn in as First Lieutenant and the Public Affairs Officer of the Mississippi State Guard. All I got to say is, wow. And Brigadier General Hayhurst, when he looked in my eyes and took his fist, knuckles facing me, and firmly tapped my chest, planting the first lieutenant badge on my uniform, tap, 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 three times. It was a powerful moment. Powerful moment, Mississippi State Guard. And just when I thought maybe I was too old to serve, that no, there was and is, and I will have the opportunity to serve. And then I went to lunch. About 15 of us went to the Piccadilly cafeteria in Jackson. One of those old-time cafeterias. Haven't been in one in a long time. And I'm standing there in line getting my food. And I get up to the register to pay. And my NCO, non-commissioned officer, sergeant, was behind me about four or five people. About four or five very elderly women, cheerful, joyful. And I just paid, and one of them came up to me and said, I want to pay for your lunch. thank you for your service. And I said, well, ma'am, I just paid for mine. And, oh, well, I'll go back here and pay for this other guy's. And I said, ma'am, I paid for his too. He doesn't know it yet. She was so disappointed because she wanted to express her thankfulness. And, you know, having been in that uniform for the first time in public and having just been sworn in 4 hours before, I did not feel worthy. I did not feel worthy to receive her praise, but I received it. And I don't think I'll ever get used to that. I don't want to get used to that. Thank you for your service comment. So I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'm also thankful, honey, if you're listening, my wife, thankful for you and your support and my kids and the opportunity to be here behind this mic. I do not take it for granted. I don't take every breath I take in the opportunity to serve and to bring guests to you. I don't take it lightly. So anyway, that's what I'm thankful for. Let's go to Joe in Delaware, Ohio. Joe, well, I've got family up your way. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call. And Mr. Perkins, just piggyback on what he said, I'm thankful that Brownback, after 6 months, has finally got firmed and is able to start helping Christians around the world and other minorities around the world. I hope that the American voters, and especially the Christian voters, when they go to the polls in November, they remember that not one Democrat voted to help fix the Obamacare train wreck. Not one Democrat voted for tax cuts for the working class, tax-paying American workers. And not one Democrat voted for Brownback to get the help the Christians and the minorities around the world. So I hope the American voters, and especially the Christian voters, remember that when they go to the polls. So thanks for everything you do. Keep fighting the good fight.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you from Delaware for calling in. Watch out for my dad up that way, Russell Jones. So thanks so much for calling. And you know, we're interesting. We're seeing several things here. I was trying to get a mayor on today. You know, the mayor's conference is in Washington, D.C. Mayors from all over the United States are gathering, and some of them boycotted because they don't like President Trump's position on sanctuary cities. So what that tells me is that the illegals that are here in the United States are more important to the needs of the community and to those who are here legally, whether you were born here or you got here through legal means to be a part and a citizen of the United States. So it's very interesting what we're seeing. Let's go to Carol in Dallas, Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored beyond what I deserve. How are you?
Oh, I love that. I just love that. I love that response.
Well, that's how I feel.
You just blessed me with that. You know, I told my son your story, and my son is actually in the Middle East right now.
Mm.
He has 19 years of service in the Air Force, and I told him your story, and he was just blown away.
Oh my!
He just said, "That is just so awesome."
Well, I don't know your son, but you thank him for his service from me, from Russ Jones.
Well, thank you. But I am thankful for we've had some kind of days where it's overcast, and today is just gorgeous. It's sunny, mid-60s. And I'm just so thankful that God sends days like this to remind us that the sun is still shining even behind the clouds.
No, amen. Well, thank you. You just blessed me. Bless the socks off of me. So I will try to live up to the standards of the Army and bring something to the table as a public affairs officer here in the state of Mississippi. And basically, you know, it's a non-combat unit. You come alongside organizations like FEMA in the case of a natural disaster. Last time the Mississippi State Guard was deployed was Hurricane Irma. The checkpoints and trainings for active shooter kind of scenarios, and get the opportunity to go to Camp Shelby for extended training with the National Guard and whatnot. So very interesting and exciting time for me. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. It's Thankful Thursday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call. Let's go to Lawrence in Texas. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, how you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing awesome. I'd like to thank my parents. I don't know if I hear a lot of it, but my mom and dad, for being the strong people they are and raising me. They are from Park Ridge, Illinois, and that's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, very liberal town.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who's from there. I graduated from the same high school as Miss Hillary Clinton.
All right, who's that?
Not the same year. But that's where she's from, and they're surrounded by liberals.
Who's from there?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh yeah, okay, gotcha.
And that's and they're nice people and all, but I just thank my parents for being conservative and not being afraid to show it in that midst. And I thank them for not. Honestly, they didn't speak a lot. It's just their actions.
Yes.
And that's bled down on me and on my kids, and our values are just awesome because of my mom and dad. So I just like to thank them for just
being what is it? Don't tell me how much you care. Show me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly, I mean, there's just the things they did. I didn't realize until I got older, to be honest, you know, until I was in my 20s and all that good stuff. And then it all started coming back to me built on a good foundation.
Yes.
It all started coming back to me at that point. So I just thank my mom and dad.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm sure they would appreciate that. Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate that. It's Thankful Thursday. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-272-3434. I'm thankful for the guests that we're able to bring on this program. And it's a huge, I don't know if you realize it, 250 stations, actually. It's a big program, big platform to get out the truth, and that's what we're committed to here. Let's go to Rachel in Jacksonville, Florida. I've got a daughter and son-in-law there. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I am very thankful for Vice President Pence, for his ability and his willingness to break the tie for Sam. And I would really like to know which ones of our Republicans did not vote yes, if possible.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And, of course, we know who the Democrats are. It was all of them.
I know that. But yeah. I would like to know which of my Republicans voted no.
Yeah, we'll look that up. That's a good question, and it's kind of sad that it took, a tiebreaker to get Governor Brown back in such an office. You know, he has a long history, as Tony said, of defending the persecuted and standing up for religious liberty. So, Rachel, thank you so much for calling with that. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Phone lines are clear. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What are you thankful for? What are the things in your life you're thankful for? What's going on in your life? How are you blessed? You know, we're blessed in so many ways. We're blessed in so many ways that... You know, God is so good to us, even when we don't deserve it. And he sent his son, who died for us, to spend eternity with him. I'm thankful for that, so very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you. If you're out there, you're kind of hanging on to that knot at the end of the rope. Don't let go. Hang on. You really aren't alone. There's lots of folks around you, lots of folks that are there for you. You just may not know it. Karen in Hutchinson, Kansas. Hey, Karen, I used to live in Newton, Kansas. You know where that is? Right down the road from Highway 50. Karen.
What?
Hi, welcome to the show. I used to live in Newton, Kansas. You know where that is? Right down the road from you.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
What I'm grateful for is my sister. She just recently went through breast cancer and had a double mastectomy. Hmm. And the Lord blessed us by having her come out with absolutely no cancer in the pathology.
Oh,
so I don't know what I'd do without her.
Well, I'm sure she's grateful for you, and thanks for sharing that thought and that blessing. Let's go to Donna in the same town, Hutchinson, Kansas. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I am very thankful for firefighters. I live in an area we have a lot of grass fires, and yes, they come out and they give their all, and they put it on the line out here.
Yeah, and, you know, I live there in Kansas. I used to live there in Newton, just down the road from you. And, boy, that wind that wind blows,
yeah.
I probably shouldn't get into all the details, but used to have 40 acres there and was burning some field one day, and, boy, that fire, it got away from me, and firefighters came and helped to get it under control. And wouldn't you know, on the radio, Donna, that day, guess what they were saying?
No we've burning.
We got a burn ban in Harvey County.
Yes.
There's fire out of control. We got a burn ban. Well, guess who they were talking about?
Happens quite often, unfortunately.
Yeah. Donna, thank you so much. And yes, thankful for our firefighters and our law enforcement officers as well, and our military.
Yes.
Jason in Murphy. Thank you. Jason in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you. I'm thankful for a man named Jack Bryant of Miracle Lake Ministries in Etowah, Tennessee. He spends the first half of every month going around the state to all the different prisons and ministering to prisoners. And that's where he found me 10 years ago and introduced me to Christ. So I'd like to say thank you to him.
All right, Jason. Thank you so much. About running out of time, let's go to Cindy all the way over in South Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted, you don't have time to hear everything I'm thankful for, but I mainly wanted to say that I am thankful that God chose to place me in a home with Christian parents.
Amen.
Because hadn't he not, you know, I could be that atheist or that person, you know, in another country. And so I'm very thankful that I had Christian parents.
Amen. Well, thank you, Cindy. That's a point well spoken. And I had parents, you know, never quite sure or clear about their faith, but certainly God brought strong believers into my life that has been a blessing, and some folks that took me under their wing. Jerry and Doris Thompson, lifelong Christian education workers in Christian ministry for years. Jerry went on to be with the Lord, but his wife Doris is living in Kansas City, and wow, they blessed me and taught me the faith, showed me the faith. More importantly, they showed me what it meant to walk as a Christian. Well, folks, let me leave you with this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. I'm Russ Jones. It's been a pleasure, been an honor to sit in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.